What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Geek Juice Radio.
Centipede was my joint.
What was Biafra's first name in that movie? Was it Jell-O?
All the stoners are giggling at it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous episode of Geek Juice Radio. My name is Charlie McMullen. With us tonight is, of course, Alex Jowski.
What's up?
We've got Kevin Daly.
Something about this episode seems awfully familiar.
I was just going to say that, but then I thought that maybe I already did say that. And then we have Dustin Kidd.
I am.
You sounded like you were ready to defend that. Tonight's topic will be the jumping of sharks. Not literally. For those of you who are not total nerds like us, first of all, why the hell are you listening to this show? There are countless other ways that you could be spending your time. But if you're not familiar with that term, it is used to refer to any moment where a series, movie, or even a concept has pushed the limits of believability one step too far. It's a reference to an episode of Happy Days wherein Fonzie literally jumps a shark on water skis.
Yes. Where a show has just, okay, that's too ridiculous. How are you going to recover from this?
Well, it's not just show. It's shows, movies, video games, even music.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. A good example of music, if you can't think of any, is Korn's recent dubstep album.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Korn, no. The dubstep album?
Yes. Their last album, they grouped up with Skillrex and released a dubstep album. Oh, it is the epitome of.
Oh, I'm gonna guess you don't like dubstep. Is that where this is coming from?
Yes, I am not a fan of dubstep
because disco had to survive somehow.
I actually had a conversation with one of my coworkers earlier today about this. Dubstep was fine before it blew up with this whole like Skrillex thing and everything. Now everyone and anyone is making like dubstep remixes of everything. A lot of them are just pure garbage. I'm fine with it back when it was just like, okay, dubstep's there. It's not my thing. Whatever. Now it's just God. Oh God.
I'm sure most of them are complete garbage. Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard any sort of a dubstep recording.
They all sound like this.
You've heard dubstep because it's on every commercial ever now for movies and
they are. If you haven't noticed, and I've been pointing that out in trailer parks, in that Watch trailer, they used a dubstep song, and they're doing it with video games and just
basically. Charlie, you ever hear electronic song go whoa, 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 whoa?
Yeah,
that's dubstep.
Okay.
Then
it's what you would imagine you would hear if you got ass raped while playing Tetris.
It's sort of like music set to 14.4K baud modem. Boot up time.
Fantastic.
I mean, and music can jump the shark by changing their lineup, like adding Sammy Hagar.
Ben Hagar?
Yep.
Or by recording a sequel to a previous song called Unforgiven 2, spelled T-O-O.
As well, the song is about being unforgiven as well.
That's right, Metallica suck it.
Metallica jumped the shark with the Black Album, though yeah, the Black Album itself is not terrible. Everything else that followed it pretty much is.
Or to give a nod to Dustin and his Canadian brethren, Rush jumped the shark after Signals because of the new wave synth pop direction.
There was some good songs on during that era. I do agree that, yeah, they had some jump the shark moments in their career, like Roll the Bones and the friggin' rap in Roll the Bones. Go check it out and be shocked and amazed. But yeah.
All due respect, I don't think I'm going to check that out. That would be akin to rediscovering that Santa Claus isn't real.
Yeah, no, it's... you know, at like in like high school when they do like motivational speakings about like safe sex or like not doing drugs, and they'd have people go up and do like raps and that kind of stuff? It's like one of those kind of raps.
Like the butt out.
I'm glad
group
that
from
California
South
wasn't yeah. the only to have horrible like that. That makes me feel a little bit better about myself.
So if you want to hear Neil Peart rapping, go check that out.
Yeah, that sounds like a shark jumper. As far as TV goes, though, a lot of them have similar shark jumping moments, mainly adding children.
You're talking like Cousin Oliver or Scrappy Doo.
Cousin Oliver on the Brady Bunch, Olivia yep. on the Cosby Show.
Yeah.
Seven on Married with Children.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that was among the worst ideas in the history of anything.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And then we had the whole last season of Roseanne.
Oh, yeah. What the hell was up with that?
Where you found out that it was a dream the whole time.
And it was like her, like, feet, like, hallucinations to deal with the death of her husband.
Dan,
what a downer.
Jackie's
of
a lesbian.
Well, I don't care about that, but what downer of a show.
I don't know. Some people will say that it's inevitable for any successful show that at some point they're just going to. I don't know. I mean, it happens for a number of different reasons. So I think everybody can pinpoint their own shark jumping moment on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't know.
I actually don't have a specific moment. There was just, it started sucking.
Yeah.
I didn't follow close moment, enough. Though. Maybe you guys actually have something more specific, but I.
Like, Lost is a show I felt followed all the way through to the end, but I really started hating it once they introduced time travel.
Well, yeah, that show was a mess. Like, they didn't have that all written out beforehand. That was all just, like, they wrote it as they went. And then they're just trying to one-up what they did last time. Like, if you look at the progression of the show, it gets pretty ridiculous by the last season.
Yeah, and then there's that episode of Annie Griffith where Barney hooks up with Aunt Bee and they have a kid.
That happened?
No, I'm just making it up.
I was going to say, I don't remember that.
I was like, what?
I was going to say, what a great episode that would be.
That episode of MASH where they crossed the river into China and killed Mao Zedong.
But a shark jumping moment, well, I wouldn't say it's a shark, exactly a shark jumping moment, but a groaner moment in any TV show that happens so often, especially in sitcoms, is the clip show.
Well, clip shows, they have a purpose.
Maybe not not mention the clip show.
Yeah, because we ran a clip show last week. But...
well, no, yeah.
We have jumped the
show. No, I know.
Clip shows serve a purpose.
Kind
first
of.
First purpose is if you have...
I think they work well if you're making a transition to a new... Like a station, like if it's moving channels?
Yeah.
Well, if you have long-running dramas where you need to see every episode in sequential order, like Desperate Housewives would throw in a bunch of catch-up episodes that were just clip shows to bring people up to speed with the season. Lost did that from time to time, too.
I can understand that.
A lot of shows, like, throughout the late 80s, like Family Ties did this and Golden Girls, when in the summer when they're airing all their reruns... They would make a clip show episode as a new episode just to maintain interest in the series.
That was the days before internet, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, the 80s would have been the days before internet, yes.
Yeah.
Another thing that ruins TV shows that are dark shark jumping moments is puberty.
See, I never even thought of this as an idea because it's not something that I ever go, man, I really wish this... prepubescent character would hit puberty now.
So I mean, that's why they hired Gary Coleman. That's why they hired Emmanuel Lewis. They were specifically trying to avoid that moment.
Mm-hmm. That, a lot of shows handle it real quickly.
Even liked Two and a Half Men before, which would be debatable. When the kid grew up, that was pretty much it for that show.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and another example.
At some point.
Another example is... me, personally, when I was watching Weeds before that entire show went downhill, when, like, as the kids in the show got older, it's just like, I don't really see them as the same characters, and they change that and everything, and it doesn't work as well.
Right.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. Yeah. I get
like,
where you're
coming. Like, the whole shtick for a character, like, it's a little kid. He doesn't understand. He's like, oh, what's this? That's sort of his thing. And then, like, he gets older, and then they don't know what to do with that character, and then the writing for him is just... you're sitting there watching, like, what? They just gotta somehow make, like, a stop aging button for, like, child actors. Or else you'll end up like Macaulay Culkin.
Do you remember the show Family Matters?
Yes. Urkel.
Urkel. That was, they jumped the shark by focusing on Urkel, by mm-hmm. making that Urkel clone.
Yeah, and the clone, Lee, right.
Urkel.
Yeah, and then when they, Urkel and Carl shrink a car, and then Urkel's ventriloquist dummy comes to life and tries to steal souls.
Yeah.
Urkel and Carl go back in time and spend an episode on a pirate ship.
Yeah, they really just made that all about Urkel.
I mean, that's how the show got popular, because it wasn't originally about that, but Steve Urkel character tested well, and so they became more and more and more and more focused. But yes, as soon as they started having Stefan Urkel, yes, that show jumped the shark.
I think Sopranos jumped the shark. Hang on,
no, because I was reading about this. Go on, Charlie.
The last moment of the last episode, they...
Okay, I think I heard about this.
Okay,
I'm going to take off my headphones, and then...
I just borrowed the first season
from my girlfriend's dad, and I was about to start it this week.
Plot details aside, no spoilers.
5 seconds. It cuts off mid-fucking sentence.
To a Journey song.
To Don't Stop Believin'.
I think that's the greatest ending of any TV show ever.
But considering that's how Glee begins...
So you're saying Glee is a roundabout sequel to The Sopranos?
It starts mid-journey song. So Glee might as well be the sequel to Sopranos.
Oh, what did I just come back to? Oh, God. No, don't say the spoilers! I don't want to know that! Tony Soprano going to his daughter's, like, Glee rehearsal? Oh, no! Tony!
No, I think you have just enough information to be really surprised when you finally see it.
Is it like 8 seasons to go?
Yeah, how long did Sopranos run?
I think it was 7 or 8 seasons. They lasted the correct amount of time, because if a show goes on too long, The Simpsons, it just goes into zombie mode, where it's not even jumping the shark. In fact, it can't even jump. It's just lying there dead.
Getting eaten by a goddamn shark.
Somehow breathing in and praying for death.
Yeah. The creator, Matt Groening, he pretty much doesn't have any say in it anymore, does he?
No, he does. He continues to be executive producer on the show.
Oh, well, no. But like, I thought like it went the whole route of like that Family Guy did, where Seth MacFarlane has no real say in.
Yeah, Seth MacFarlane is just, he said before, he just reads scripts.
Yeah, he just does the voices and that's it.
You know, because that show jumped the shark with the episode where Stewie and Lois were trying to kill each other.
Oh, God, no, it was before that, but yeah, that was a big moment. It's like, oh, my God, we didn't
I think this. That show jumped the shark about episode 2 of season 4, when they brought it back after it got canceled.
Yeah.
And it just all became like non sequiturs. You really did not give a shit about the characters anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the fact that the show.
Or maybe specifically when Jimmy Fallon has sex with Meg.
Oh, yeah. I remember that episode.
It was not good. I remember the Griffins, like, that one, like, they started a family band, like the Partridge Family.
Oh, okay, yeah. See, that's the thing with that show. It's all like, look at this reference. Now let's drag the joke out for 3 minutes.
Actually, this could lead me to a new point. After a series jumps the shark, is there a possibility for redemption? Because with Family Guy, I think there is.
I disagree on Family Guy, but yeah, I think the show can redeem itself.
Well, I think it has been done with Family Guy, specifically the episode where Brian and Stewie are locked in the bank vault for the weekend.
Yeah, that's actually a really moving, dramatic ending to that episode.
Yeah, I got a little bit misty-eyed, man, and I don't think, like, having taken the journey that the show has taken up to that point, I don't think they could have pulled that episode off. But, like, there's not one cutaway joke, there's no music, there's not even any closing theme over the credits, it's just stark silence.
Whoa, that's pretty...
Don't Stop Believing, there, Charlie.
Yeah. See...
See, that's what I think American Dad does right, is because it has its jokes, it doesn't rely on, reference this, reference that, drag it out for 5 minutes or so, and then it'll be even more funnier. and it doesn't rely on like cutaway gags and everything like that.
See, Dustin, I like American Dad, and I get where you're coming from, but I would disagree when it doesn't bleed references completely dry.
Okay, yeah, no, that is true. It does have references, but not to the point where Family Guy just shoves it down your throat.
Okay, I can see that, because my case in point for American Dad would have been the episode where Steve and his friends are remaking Mannequin.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Okay. That's the most obscure reference you can have, and they have it down to the detail. Like, Steve is dressed as Andrew McCarthy in that movie.
But see, you don't have moments where, like, oh, William Shatner's on the show. Who else have they had on that show? Like you said, Jimmy Fallon on the show, or, like, James Woods on the show. Whoa, look, it's actually them. Whoa, it doesn't seem to do that unless it makes sense that it did that.
It's not gratuitous, is what you're saying.
Say it has, like, Aerosmith in an episode, and that's because they go to an Aerosmith concert. Whereas Family Guy, it'd be like, oh, Aerosmith, they like, just parked the bus outside. Whoa.
Yeah, they're just going to have Aerosmith show up arbitrarily. Mm-hmm.
And then there's some shows that jump the shark all the time. Like, I think CSI Miami jumped the shark the second David Caruso put on those sunglasses.
And made a pithy remark.
Yes.
X-Files really jumped the shark a lot.
I couldn't watch the show after they moved to L.A. when David Duchovny's like, I need to be with my wife constantly. We're not filming this in Vancouver anymore.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't realize that the fact that it was in Vancouver added to the mood of the show, because it's always like rainy and overcast and dark and foreboding. And L.A. looks like L.A. no matter how much you try to make it not look like L.A.
Yeah, the constant sunshine did not really lend itself to the X-Files.
Even at night, it just looks warm and not scary.
No, I know what you mean.
All right, so this one list I'm looking at brings up how Law & Order SVU jumped the shark.
Well, I think Law & Order itself jumped the shark when they found it necessary to have three different Law & Order shows.
Yeah. When
they say the same about CSI also.
Yeah.
They're talking about an episode of Law & Order SVU, particularly where one of the lab techs goes crazy and starts killing another lab tech and torturing another character and using Hilary Duff as a guest star.
There's your shark jumping moment. It was fine up until they threw Hilary Duff in there. She's not an actor.
What? I mean, that's very similar to the Harlem Globetrotters showing up on Gilligan's Island.
Or on Scooby-Doo.
My shark jumping moment for Law & Order SVU would be, I can't remember the season, but where, what's her face? Mariska Hargitay had left the show for a while because she was pregnant. And then Christopher Maloney's character was, like, going through a divorce and started kissing his, you know, temporary replacement for her. And I'm like, you know, I never gave a shit about these characters. I was all about the mysteries.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I like the fact that every single episode sounded like a sociology textbook. Well, you know, 83% of all child abusers were abused themselves.
Yeah, when they actually did the you know, when they actually lived up to the rip from today's headlines kind of thing.
Yeah, but when they started, like, dealing with the characters' personal lives, I'm like, ugh, I know.
Yeah, they don't really do that anymore.
Yeah. Another show that really, really jumped the shark, I felt, and it, just by having a second season, I felt it jumped the shark. Even just by the description of the show, it's pretty obvious, like, they were going to. If it was successful, they were going to. And that's Prison Break.
Yeah.
Just by the description of the first season, you knew, like, he was going to break his brother out, and it should have ended there. Second season, I can understand that they dragged it on that long, that they did a second season where they're being hunted. Third season, they're back in prison.
Gotta break out again.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't understand the popularity of that show. It's just like, you know what's going to happen? They're going to break out of prison.
Do you know what that reminded me of? Was the Crusher franchise in Tropic Thunder.
Mm.
When Ben Stiller literally says over the trailer, here we go again. Again.
Here we go again. Again.
Again.
A lot of movie series jump the shark that way, though, by doing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
I mean,
Or not realizing that it's time to stop.
Same thing with TV and movies and even video games. they get to a point where they don't want to let the characters die with dignity because people, they'll keep buying as long as we keep making them. So instead of letting the characters die a graceful death, they'll just keep going until you see this character just, like, making that fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't want to end it with a good ending. We want to bring him back again, and there's probably going to be another one where it's just Jack Sparrow humping a raccoon on a raft because, hey, he's still there.
Well, when you said let the character die a graceful death, Mario immediately jumped to my mind.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what jumped to my mind was another video game character. That was Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid
series. Metal Gear, yes.
Yeah, in number 4. Yeah, people disregard that one and say that is a shark jumping moment in the series because you look at it and he's an old man. He's old. He's rapidly aged. They do explain that in the game. And they do make it reasonable and take it from something that sounds like a shark jumping moment and make it work and make it understandable. Yeah, I thought they really handled it well. What could have been like a complete shark jumping joke, Hideo Kojima really handled it really, really well and made it work and made a really, really powerful, emotional-driven game. Like, if you've played any of the games before that in the series, like, there's no way you were going to be emotionally attached, like, not be emotionally attached to this last game. Like, seriously, that Metal Gear Solid 4 just, it redeemed itself from what could have been a goofy plot.
What about the James Bond series?
Oh, you know what? Shark jumping moment for James Bond series? God, I don't know if it's...
I'm gonna say GoldenEye.
Really?
No, GoldenEye was its comeback. I liked GoldenEye.
Yeah, GoldenEye was a comeback. I'd probably say, like, going back to...
Any of the Roger Moore?
Back in the Sean Connery days, even.
Well, no, there is that one. For Your Eyes Only is the one I'm going to say from the Roger Moore era. Because, first of all, you had that terrible f***ing song.
Yeah.
Who is that? Sheena Easton singing For Your Eyes Only?
That was Sheena Easton.
Yeah, that song is awful. I hate that song. And it's slow and boring, and it's like some stupid, god-awful romance song. It's not like James Bond at all. And that's the same one where he has this, like, 14-year-old trying to jump into bed with him. And I'm like, this is like 70-year-old Roger Moore, and some 14-year-old is trying to jump his bones. No, I'm not buying it.
That was statutorific.
That's where James Bond jumped the shark, only to be revived with GoldenEye.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't really dig the plot of GoldenEye. Because the Cold War had already ended at that point, and I thought Sean Bean's character, it was played well by Sean Bean, he did a great job, but the whole character I didn't really buy. The evil 006, I just thought that was kind of cheap.
Yeah,
It was Sean Bean, though, so it was automatically awesome.
But by having this evil...
It definitely helped.
It really got over a lot of the cliches that Get Smart had pointed out. Like, those agents popping up that you see in Get Smart. Like, Get Smart had the running joke of, I can't remember the agent, but he would show up in weird places. James Bond movies did that all the time.
But, I agree. I think GoldenEye really revived the series. And
then it jumped the shark again with Die Another Day and the Invisible Car.
Die Another Day is terrible. Well, you guys already know how much I hate that movie.
When you're casting Halle Berry... I don't care if she's won awards before. She is a god-awful actress.
The invisible car racing through an ice palace. That's...
Yeah.
There's just so much about that movie that sucks. I mean, really. I only have words for how much that movie sucks.
I mean, I love John Cleese, but he does not belong in a James Bond movie.
No, he doesn't. But then again, what were they going to do when Q died?
I don't know. I mean, just go another way. You don't have to have a character... you know, doing what Q did.
So I'm reading this list here of 12 kids who killed TV shows.
Okay.
7 on Married with Children.
Okay. Okay, I'm guessing that Blair's cousin Jerry on The Facts of Life shows up here somewhere.
Cousin Oliver, who I just sent you a link to his horrific picture.
Oh, jeez. That picture.
Mike, oh my god!
Yeah, do you see that he killed?
I dubbed this picture too spooky.
Yeah, that looks like Philip Seymour Hoffman as a kid.
it does!
Olivia on The Cosby Show, which was played by Raven.
Right.
Oh, That's So Raven?
That's So Raven?
Yep, Yeah, Raven Simone played Olivia on The Cosby Show.
I hated The Cosby Show to begin with, so that
is... Sam on Different Strokes. The Prince. Son of Mr. Drummond's love interest.
Yep. He's the one who should have got left in a bike shop.
Stephanie on All in the Family.
I have no recollection of that at all.
Nor do I. It came at the end of Archie Bunker's Place.
Oh, okay.
Albert on Little House on the Prairie. That's a show I've never watched. Except for the last episode, where they burn the whole town down. adding another kid to the Partridge Family. Adding a teenage daughter to the Love Boat.
Whose teenage daughter was it?
She was the captain's, the teenage daughter that he never knew he had.
Ah.
Now, I never saw the Love Boat. Did she just sleep with everybody on the Love Boat?
No, she was like a little orphan Annie character that helped people hook up.
Okay.
Chachi.
Yep.
Even though that show had already jumped the shark before then.
Literally.
Literally, right? Yeah.
Ralph Macchio being added to 8 is enough.
I don't know.
Well, clearly, 8 wasn't enough.
I don't know if you can ever have enough Ralph Macchio.
And Penny, played by Janet Jackson on Good Times.
I don't know. I'm a little disappointed that that Blair's Cousin Jerry and Scrappy Doo are not on this list.
Movie moments where they jump the shark.
Live Free, Die Soft.
Okay, I will admit that. Yeah, I know there was a gunshot muffling the yippee-ki-yay motherfucker line.
Not only that, you have also the launching of a SUV into a helicopter. And I know there has been some crazy moments in the Die Hard franchise before then, but that just no.
Live Free or Die Hard was not perfect by any stretch, but I liked it better than Part 2.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if we can be friends anymore, Charlie.
Well, I like Part 3 more than Part 2.
Oh, yeah. Part 3 is my favorite one. Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Wait, you like it better than the first one?
Well, no.
In the first one.
Yeah, it's my favorite sequel.
Okay.
I like the second one.
Yeah, I like it too.
I liked the rail shooter video game they made for Die Hard 2.
I don't know. The second one just didn't really do it for me. I think maybe it was the subtitle Die Harder that kind of turned me off.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Movie series that jumped the shark.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. That's...
Movie series that jumped the shark, Ocean's 13.
Or 12.
Well, 13 is the third time they're meeting up for one last heist, and then they bring in Al Pacino as the new bad guy, and the old bad guy is now the good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was no good.
I didn't like those movies to begin with, so there's my input.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the first one, did not bother with the other ones.
Hulk Hogan fight in Rocky 3.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you guys can eat my ass. Rocky 3 is the beginning of the awesome part of the Rocky series.
I agree with you on that, Kevin. Seriously, Thunderlips and Mr. T as the bad... Like,
the camp. Oh, the camp. It's delicious.
Oh, my God. And then with 4, it's just gloriously beautiful. So much.
I have a list
of... The f***ing robot!
Right, that f***ing robot, exactly.
Happy birthday, Polly. Come on!
I literally have, like, a list of 4 movies, maybe, that if I'm flipping through TV, I'll stop and watch no matter what I'm doing. Rocky 4 is the prime example.
Yeah.
If Rocky 4 is on, everything stops. I don't care what I'm doing. I'm watching Rocky.
Yeah. Like, and you have 2 training montages in there. 2! Like,
yep. With great music.
Yeah, I know. It's so awesome.
Montage music, just classic stuff.
If we're going to talk Star Wars, though, now take all 6 movies, okay?
Jedi.
Okay.
I'm going to say Jedi as well. The Ewoks paved the way for Jar Jar and midichlorians.
Yes, they did.
Okay, yeah, I agree. Even though Jedi is my favorite, and I know, and I will rightfully admit, that Empire is the better film. That is the shark jumping moment for...
How is he going to end the great, you know, that's his big trilogy with a f***ing Ewok sing-along?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm not going to be the guy who's going to sit here and defend Ewoks, because it can't be done. Empire is definitely my favorite one. I wouldn't call Return of the Jedi a shark jumping moment because it was necessary.
Well, the story had to be wrapped up.
It was not gratuitous. It was not just continuing for the sake of continuing.
No, yeah. But adding the Ewoks was rather unnecessary.
Right.
Yeah, and then making Ewok movies.
Also,
yeah.
I really feel like Vader just pusses out at the end of that movie. I
will slightly defend the Ewoks. It makes sense, though. I'll give you that.
Well, it makes sense that a forest moon would have bear-like creatures on it, yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, the way I look, I mean, and it makes sense because the Empire is the kind of group that would underestimate a primitive race like that. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But
it makes sense.
It's still annoying.
But I do understand, like, some of the goofy moments with the Ewok riding the speeder bike and that kind of stuff.
Rocks taking down AT-ST walkers. And
you see the opposite of that, where you do see some Ewoks getting killed. So I forgive it for that. I forgive it because it's not entirely over the shark. It has not completely jumped it yet. It's just getting on the ramp, and the skis are about half off the ramp. you hit the Christmas special and the Ewok movies. He's friggin' airborne. The shark is jumping up, like, about to bite him. Then you get to the prequels.
With the introduction of a Wookiee named Itchy co-starring in something with B. Arthur.
And Harvey Korman in drag.
Yep.
Yeah, you get to the prequel movies, and the shark has just grabbed this guy.
They left the shark
him
long
in his
time.
Jaws and, like, digested him like no tomorrow.
Yeah, the prequels are an aftermath of a shark jumping that did not go as planned. The prequels are a school of sharks taking a shit.
And video games as well. There's Final Fantasy.
Yes.
7. When they abandoned gameplay to deal with emo shit.
Yeah. I like 7, but yeah, I mean, that's the transition.
That is. I mean, 7 made 8 possible. And not just because...
I like 8. I like 8 better than 7.
Well, that's the end of YouTube's radio forever. You've lost all credibility.
I've never played a Final Fantasy game.
Well, that's fine, but 8's terrible, and anybody who likes 8...
Okay, I wouldn't say it's terrible, and I do agree that it has some really bad elements to it, but I like 8 better.
Other video games, I think Street Fighter jumped the shark with, like, the 20th sequel to Street Fighter 2.
I don't know, 3 is a pretty awesome game. I mean, they're all good games still.
Yeah,
the necessity of the sequel is up for debate, but...
When it came out with, like, Street Fighter 2 Alpha Turbo Extreme, I was like, fuck it, I don't even care about 3 anymore. You guys don't care.
Even though 3 turned out to be the best in the series, but...
It was worth the wait.
Yeah. But I do agree, you get all the Alpha Turbo, like, HD remake, new challengers, and, like, when you're waiting for that Street Fighter 3 and they're just throwing out the same game... Even though I think some of them were necessary to get that Street Fighter feel, like with Turbo, like that more where they sped it up and you get that what is essentially Street Fighter now with that quick fighting. I think that was necessary, but then you have all the other ones and it just...
Yeah, there's... And what would you say Sonic the Hedgehog jumped the shark with, Dustin?
Sonic Racing... Sonic Fight Arena or whatever that was that they came there was a
yeah I would say yeah like spin
Sonic Spinball. I think the point that people just really gave up, because with Sonic Adventures there was essentially a new hope for the games, because that was actually a decent game. But then you have Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, where essentially you have bestiality, you have some princess, human princess, who forms a relationship with Sonic, and they actually have an on-screen kiss. And
oh, yeah, that.
Sonic the Werehog. What?
That was actually a lot of fun, though.
Okay, the actual, like, Sonic gameplay in that was good, but then you get to, like, the Werehog stuff, and that was complete garbage. Where else in the series? The Black Knight thing. Ugh.
Good thing I never got into Sonic, really. The only one I really played was 2.
Yeah, you're lucky. 3 was good also.
And 1. I played 1 because I have it on Xbox Live. But
I don't know. I think a case could be made that Tails is the Cousin Oliver of the Sonic games.
Yeah. But they have redeemed themselves again with the latest game, Sonic Generations. It is legitimately a good Sonic game.
Apparently, internet memes jump the shark as well.
They're so annoying, like that Call Me Maybe one that's going on. That was so friggin' old.
You, Dustin, now I have that song stuck in my head for the next
I'm
week.
I'm sorry.
Jackass.
Hey, I don't like the song any more than you do. Seriously, that song, the mixing.
It's so catchy, though. Just mentioning the name of the song makes you get it stuck in your head for like a week straight.
The thing is, that song literally turns my stomach. It's so clean and pristine and just like...
Well, you're talking about when stuff gets just oversaturated. I'm talking when a meme was something like Double Rainbow. When they did the Microsoft Windows Live photo gallery advertisement with him singing that song. When Charlie Sheen went on tour with his whole I'm winning shtick.
Oh, God.
When a book was published of nothing but pictures of sad Keanu.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
when Anton Dwadson performed Bed Intruder at the BET Awards.
Oh, God, yeah. What the... I don't like society.
You're sure it wasn't the BED Awards? Because that would make sense.
Boo.
Sorry, Josh isn't here. I had to pick up some slack.
Yeah.
No, it...
This show now has a horrible pun quota.
It does.
All right, we better get Jillian in here every week to make quota.
Hey, that'd bring the sex appeal.
Well, it would definitely reduce the amount of sausage fest on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do need to get more women here.
Oh, don't sound so depressed, Alex.
There's no girls in your
show.
There's
no girls on our show.
I've tried to reduce the amount of sausage on the show by pushing it in, but it's come back out a couple times. It's come back out a couple times since we started.
Oh, God.
But that picture you posted of Cousin Oliver definitely helped.
Yeah.
I lost my train of thought.
Yeah, you just mentioning Cousin Oliver, like...
derailed the whole show.
Just, Cousin Oliver.
Much like it derailed the show, The Brady Bunch.
Another show that jumped the shark, Dexter, jumped the shark by having that bringing on Julia Stiles for a season.
I thought that show should have been done after the second season.
No, third season was still pretty good. Well, but
I heard third season was garbage. I watched the first 5 episodes, and I'm like, I'm done. They wrapped it up fine with the end of the second season, I felt.
Well, third season's the season that had John Lithgow as that killer, right? And, yeah, you get that first episode where you see John Lithgow's bare ass, but...
For a man his age, that was impressive, though.
But one of the things that made the show work was the dichotomy of having that character married and everything. And trying to balance, you know, his home life with his wife. But you have that killed when they kill his wife. And then the kids leave. So it's just him. And now he's starting this shit up with Julia Stiles, which her very presence alone ruins anything.
Yeah.
Not a big Julia Stiles fan there, Jessica?
I hate Julia Stiles.
No, who the hell is? I mean, that, like, adding Julia Stiles to the show reminded me of that scene in The Truman Show when... The show within that movie was about to jump the shark by adding, just throwing in a love interest out of nowhere. Do you guys remember that movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, by bringing in that love interest, like, at the moment.
That was a very smart scene to throw in, because I just thought that was clever. I liked it.
I liked it, but I liked The Truman Show.
Yeah, I do, too. It was a great movie.
I gotta watch it again, because I didn't like it when I was younger, but I'll probably like it now. I gotta watch it again.
But what I kept crediting his being Julia Stiles' only good performance ended up not even being Julia Stiles.
What was that?
Was Michael Douglas's daughter on Traffic? That's not Julia Stiles, but I thought it was.
No, that's that was Erica Christensen, I believe.
Yes, it was.
The chick from Swim Fan?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she actually...
I always thought she was hot. I mean,
her performance in Traffic is pretty good. It's not Julia Stiles.
So you're feeling relief right now. That's good.
Yeah. That's Julia Stiles, 10 Things I Hate About You. Hated. She destroyed Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet. You know.
It was all you got to do is call it Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, and it was already destroyed.
Yeah.
Practically walked out when she graced the screen in Bourne Identity.
Mm-hmm.
Done. Threw your hands up, walked out.
Yeah. I cheered when she died in The Omen.
My wife likes Julia Stiles, so. She's offended at the moment.
I cannot stand Julia Stiles. Down to you. Save the Last Dance. Gah.
Oh, Save the Last Dance was abysmal.
Yeah, Julia Stiles has just had a career of destroying movies. She is the shark that people jump.
She is the polar opposite of Christopher Walken.
Yeah. More jumping the shark moments?
Well, I think every generation of American culture has its own jump the shark moment for Saturday Night Live. I mean,
well,
I
think the whole fact that they're keeping the show going still, and it's just blatantly unfunny.
I don't know. I wouldn't call it unfunny, because it's... I mean, every season has its good points and its bad points, but I've watched the show since I was a little kid. Like, that's probably the show that I've watched the longest in my life.
I mean, the cast, you get varying degrees of quality in cast, and sometimes... Some of the guys, like, I like the Lonely Island guys now, but that's pretty much the only cast.
I used to like them, but now just the whole Saturday Night Live, it should just be called Sandberg Night Live.
Well, he's leaving, too. All those guys are.
Oh, yes.
So I don't know what's going to happen to the show then. I mean, those basically the only watchable part of the show currently are those guys.
Well, I used to think that also, but then I'm sick of Lonely Island. I'm sick of just...
There's something else I realized that can jump the shark. Food.
Food?
Yeah.
Wheat thins?
Oh, no, wheat thins are still awesome.
Yeah.
Bacon.
Bacon has jumped the shark.
Poutines.
Bacon chapstick. Bacon soda.
Yeah, there's a
you
lot
know,
of...
You know, honestly,
there's
I'm
bacon soda.
On this, I'm there's... thinking about it, yes. Everybody thinks bacon is the greatest thing on the planet, and don't get me wrong, bacon is awesome, but too many people think it's awesome.
When you start putting bacon in baby formula...
I think that's
bacon,
just more about
good.
America than the shark, dude.
Bacon's good, but it just seems nowadays like people are just like, bacon, it's so awesome just because it just feels like a bandwagon that everyone's
five
just jumping
of
on.
Strips of bacon. Like, yeah, it's a BLM.
Yeah, it's just like a bandwagon that everyone's jumped on that, like, bacon is awesome.
Yeah, same thing with trans fat. That everything has to tell you there's no trans fat. Like, I didn't know what trans fat was. I've never cared what fat is. But now, you know, my potato chips are... Oh, look, we now have no trans fat.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I think, I mean, in my lifetime, coffee has definitely jumped the shark.
Well, yeah, you look at Starbucks and that kind of stuff. And
yeah, know, I mean, Starbucks...
Indie coffee places and stuff.
I know. Like, did you guys ever see the... the Lock and Load special from Dennis Leary?
No, I don't think I have.
This was about 97 or 98, where he just completely goes off about how it's impossible to get coffee-flavored coffee now.
Oh, yeah.
It was a brilliant bit. It was really good.
Or, like, I went to a Starbucks, and they have, like, nutmeg there. This was a few years ago, and I'm like, I don't even know what nutmeg is, but I'm so not interested in coffee anymore.
Yeah. Me and my girlfriend, when we were up north
like
visiting
white chocolate
my parents,
mochas, so you guys again can just lick
when
my
we were up north
motion.
Visiting my parents and everything. A couple mornings, we drove and she wanted to get coffee, and I'm like, okay, we'll go to Tim Hortons, and she's like, no, there's a
Canadians
here, right?
Like, and your Tim Hortons. I always like, I want some Tim Hortons. I can't ever have Tim Hortons.
I know it's really not fair. I've
it really isn't fair at all.
Yeah, I've heard the legends of Tim Hortons.
Yeah, the coffee is good. I'm not a coffee guy, but yeah, it's good. Pretty much your standard coffee. They don't do any like tricks or bedazzles or anything with it. A couple mornings we went and she's like, "Oh, you guys got Starbucks here? Let's go to Starbucks." I'm like, "Okay, you're gonna be paying out the ass like for a drink that's." Shouldn't be even that priced, and charge you like $10. And essentially, it looks like they put dirt on it. It just looks like coffee, whipped cream, like sprinkled dirt on it.
That's probably nutmeg.
Or, oh yeah, I was gonna say it might be cocoa powder. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's nutmeg.
Calling everything organic has definitely gone too far.
Yeah.
One thing up here that has jumped the shark is poutines up here.
Preteens. As in kids under 13?
No, poutines.
Yeah, Dustin, we were talking about this the other day.
Yeah, I sent you that link of that poutinery.
Yeah, and I was just so happy that there was something actually called a poutinery.
Yeah.
That's the most adorable name I could think of.
But yeah, they have like the most craziest poutines ever. You thought like gravy, fries, and cheese curds was one thing. Like they got peanut butter and jam poutine, they got bacon poutine, they got chili poutine, they got cheeseburger poutine, they got pizza poutine, they got like chicken poutine, beef poutine. Like it's insane. It's like too much to handle. It's just like I don't know what I want. I don't know what's gonna be good.
So Dustin, is Canada full of like poutine hipster purists?
Yeah, kind of.
What is a poutine?
Cheese curds, gravy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I like both of those things.
It sounds simple enough, doesn't it?
Potato wedges. And
how do you spell this? P-O-O-T-E-E-N?
P-O-U-T-I-N-E.
Oh, okay. That makes it sound like food.
Yeah, Jowski, do not type the other spelling into a search engine. You are not going to like what comes up.
Let's see what comes up if I type.
I tried to warn you.
See, I typed in poo and then teen, and it said, did you mean teen mom?
That's America for you.
Maybe I did, Google.
There's a jump the shark moment when friggin' MTV stopped showing music videos.
That's an excellent point. And I like the way you had lead that sentence.
Yeah, when they started showing My Super Sweet 16 above a bunch of spoiled rich kids.
Which, you know what? You know, honestly, though, the exact jump the shark moment for MTV? Real World.
Yeah.
Well,
it was the first non-scripted block of programming that MTV had.
1 hour where they'd run two episodes. You know, the other 23 hours of their programming was music videos. You could put up with this. This 1 hour where you could go watch VH1 music videos.
Well, and the thing is, then they got MTV2, and then MTV was just like talk shows and reality shows and that kind of crap, like TV shows. Then MTV2 was where they had the music videos. Now MTV2 has turned into what MTV was. It's just reality shows and crap TV. It's garbage. And I think they even have an MTV3 now.
I remember when M2 first came out, I guess that was like 97, 98. I was like, wow, a channel that shows only music videos. I'm surprised no one came up with this 14 years ago.
When VH1 made their transition to no more music videos, they started showing, they made those spin-off channels for just specific types of music, you know, VH1 Classic, VH1 Soul.
Mm-hmm.
But then those started showing movies. VH1 Classic would just rerun The Wall and Quadrophenia all day. Soul, just House Party 1 through 3, 24 hours a day.
Thank you very much for listening, everybody. I think what we've learned tonight is don't fly too close to the sun. If you have something great, run with it. Congratulate yourself, but remain self-aware enough to know when you've gone far enough. This has been Geek Juice Radio. Check out our website, www.geekjuicemedia.com. We're going to have some great stuff coming up on there.
Oh, don't lie.
We're going to have some marginally acceptable stuff coming up on there.
Sorry, Josh isn't here. Someone had to say it.
Jowski, is the new comic strip going to pop up at some point?
Yes, I need to find them.
Okay.
And if you have a few minutes, well, no, by the time this airs, the full frontal nudity in our Emmanuel in America episode will be down.
Thank you for reminding me. I had to fix that tonight.
No, I gotta go see that. Damn it.
Yeah, nice going, Kevin. Way to remind the teacher she forgot to assign homework.
You left in full frontal nudity in an episode.
Yes, he did.
This
was
this
man.
Was of the Cult of Joe D'Amato, I assume.
That's why I have to fix it.
There was a new D&D Next playtest packet that came out last week. Well, by the time it airs, it'll be last week. I may have an article about that up soon. I'm going to be watching Fire and Ice and reviewing that sometime, probably this weekend. So there actually may be a new review up, believe it or not.
Fire and Ice being...
Ralph Bakshi.
Animated
fantasy movie.
Yeah, that is a good one. All right, well, thank you again for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for what I assume is the projection booth, and come back next week. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
supposed to happen.